Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, in your Bibles, please. Our nation is like a vast aircraft carrier. It can only be turned one way. With God, we must turn right and go straight. We get our direction wrong. An aircraft carrier can only turn one way. If they get they turn the opposite way, it would dump all the airplanes off the jets, off the runway of the aircraft carrier. So it takes a long time for it to make that long round turn. Some of the nuclear aircraft carriers today can do it much faster than they could in the past. The Enterprise is 1,123 feet long. That's a big boat. And takes a lot of power to turn it, to go back to the course they were on, to make a complete circle and get back on course. Numerous times God told Israel that if they would repent and do what was right, that he would receive them and bless them. And if they did not, there was consequences for their actions. It takes a nation a long time to make a turn. It takes a nation quite a bit of power and effort to turn back to a course we were once on. And we hope this nation will begin to make some visible, serious strides in turning back to biblical procedures and blessings on how we are to live in this world. Israel did that in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, in verse 1 through 3. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloths, and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. That's quite a bit of time. A day is the daylight hours. And so the first watch of the day is from 6 a.m. until like 9 a.m. They had 4 watches. A 1/4 part of the day, they have done this for several hours. They have stood for that time, and they've read the Word of God aloud, and they've confessed their sins and repented to draw close to the Lord. Israel had returned to God in unity and was celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles when they did this, often referred to as the Feast of Booths, because in the wilderness they made themselves booths for shade of limbs of trees and such as that. And they celebrated for a week and they rejoiced in the Lord. And they recurred this feast. It was one of the main feasts that they did every year. Israel has returned to Jerusalem. They have rebuilt the temple. Now they have rebuilt the wall around the city. And they're having a celebration of that with their drawing close to God. They've set up the gates of the city for protection that had been burned and destroyed, and walls of the city had been torn down by their enemies, and it allowed any people to come and go as they pleased. And Israel needed control of that for their safety's sake. And so now they've rebuilt the wall in a record time. They rejoiced and celebrated to do these things, and they called an assembly of the people to do that. We are here today as an assembly of Christians to worship the Lord, to confess our sins to Him, to bring our offerings unto Him, to sing praise to His name, and to unite in prayer on behalf of others. Brother Darrell Barentine sent me a text this morning that he's at home today with a sinus infection. We want to remember him. Bob mentioned Tommy and Rita, and I believe today is Tommy's birthday, so we want to say happy birthday to Tommy. And Bob Seitz is watching. He'll have a comment for me and Bob the next time we see him. He'll probably tell me how impressed he is about how good I look on camera with this blue jacket and green pants and green tie and all that sort of thing. I don't know what he'll say, but he'll say something. We want to remember him in prayer. Israel rejoiced. They also repented, and they were in remorse for their sins. They separated themselves from the strangers or unbelievers of that day. A lot of the world wants Israel to take all of the Hamas and all of the people of Palestine into Jerusalem, just like their regular a part of the nation and all that sort of thing. Do you realize those are Muslim people, and the Jews are not Muslims? We are not what Muslims, but we have filled our country with Muslims from overseas, and now they have voting blocks, congressmen, senators, and all that sort of thing, giving them the right to vote and to build up in our government to tell us how to act and how to spend our taxes and all that sort of thing. So there's a lot of similarities between what Israel faced in that day and what we face in this day and time today. Used to be when people came to the United States of America to become citizens, they got a job, they worked, they learned the language, they pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. They weren't trying to build another nation within this nation. They adapted themselves to our laws and our customs and our beliefs. And probably they were anxious to get away from where they came from, to have that opportunity to be a part of what we have here in the United States of America. So Israel was facing that then, they're facing it now, and so are we. They stood and confessed their sins. That hadn't changed. We always need to do that. We need to confess our sin to God daily. We need to do it several times a day. We have trouble with our temper, we have trouble with our lusts, we have trouble with our laziness. And we should read our Bible daily and memorize Scripture and rehearse it to the Lord and get strength from it to stay on the straight and narrow path that we need to walk. And remember, it takes something for a nation to turn back to that path that they were once on. They stood and confessed sins and iniquities to God for the nation and for themselves. And they turned to the Word of God. They read the book of the law aloud for a fourth part of the day. That's quite a few hours reading aloud the Word of God in a public setting with all these different people. And they confessed and worshiped for a fourth part of the day. They selected leaders from among the people, the Levites and the priests. And some stood on the stairs and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. They showed remorse. The Levites said, "Stand up and bless the Lord, you who are gods, and bless God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name." Deuteronomy 28, verse 58, reminds us of that saying. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58, Scripture says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God," in all capital letters. Our nation, in many ways, has forgotten the Lord our God. They have forgotten that we are to be humble before Him and submissive to Him and to live according to His Word. And because of it, we see the results in our nation with the sins of iniquity in every place. We are to exalt the name of the Lord above all. We're to give Him praise. Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." Holy is the name of God. We give Him praise. We give Him thanks. We exalt His name above ourselves. He has exalted His name above all His word. And he is the one true God that we worship. God gave a good spirit to Israel that they might have understanding when they were in the wilderness, and God drew them to himself and they made a sacrifice to God and drew close to him. And his spirit moved in them to understand what he was telling them of the scripture. They made a covenant with God and signed their names. And they entered into a curse and an oath that they would walk in God's word and obey his word. Israel found it easy to do that because they knew it was right to do. And they were being called on by their leaders to do that. But they had a harder time keeping it than just saying it. And I think the same is true with all mankind. We have it much more difficult to obey the things of God than we do to say we want to obey the Lord, and we will do these things. Secondly, they renewed their separation from the unbelievers. They were not to intermarry with other nations. They were not to violate the Sabbath day. They were not to buy and sell from the nations around them on the Sabbath day to violate the Sabbath. They were to cast lots to see which priests and Levites were to provide the wood for the sacrifice and who would make the incense burning. You remember in the New Testament that Zechariah the priest, it was his turn to go in and burn incense in the temple. When the angel came to tell him, he would have a son named John, and he obeyed him. This caused them to renew their dedication to the Lord. So let's take a look back and see just a little more what's going on here at the time of Nehemiah. In the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now you know where Persia is? That's Iran today. The Persian people. They have not always been as they are today. Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." We take a look back as Ezra is a scribe of God. There is Ezra, a priest, and Ezra, a scribe. And Ezra, the scribe, was in charge of the scriptures, knowing what the Bible taught, knowing where God said what in the Bible. Now, Israel had gone into captivity in Babylon, and now the 70 years of their captivity is coming to a close. Look at Leviticus 26 and verse 14, if you will. Leviticus 26 and verse 14 says, "But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you." And then in verse 32, "I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which have dwelt therein shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon the land." So God said the 70 years of the captivity was because of 70 Sabbath years that Israel did not observe the Sabbath years while they were in the land of promise. And so God allowed them to be in captivity for that amount of time. In 2 Chronicles 36, if you are in Ezra 1, you're right there at the scripture, chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles and verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, or 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him. Let him go up." So he recruited volunteers from among the Jews to go and rebuild the temple. And they would go with a man by the name of Zerubbabel, and he would be in charge of laying the foundation for the temple, the restoration of the temple. This is the place where Solomon had built the temple, or God had built the temple and put Solomon in as the king. And all of it went together according to God's plan and purpose. But now it has been destroyed. Walls have been broken down. It has been taken captive. And now the 70 years of that captivity is coming to a close, and they are going back to rebuild what has been torn down. Our job today is to try to rebuild what sin has torn down within our families and within our nation. Broken homes and wayward children and laws violated and sins committed. We need the help of God and the power of God and the knowledge God would have give us, that we can turn these things around in our nation and make them go back to what God would have us to be. Now, Persia or Iran is bordered in the north by Armenia and the Black Sea and Turkmenistan and the Caspian Sea. Where their headquarters was in that day was 16 miles from the Tigris River. On their east is Afghanistan and Pakistan. And on their west is Iraq. And southwest is the Persian Gulf. So that gives you an idea. They're fighting wars right now over the Persian Gulf. Shipping has been slowed up because of missiles and such coming from those that live in the edges of the Persian Gulf, trying to stop progress of shipping and armaments going to the wrong people and oil and all of that sort of thing. We need another Cyrus, who's the head of Iran, that would listen to God's leading and not to man's. And Nehemiah is in this day. They are all in Nehemiah and Esther. It refers to Shushan, the palace, that place where the Iranian palace was located, their capital. King Artaxerxes in Ezra 7:11 is in the same place. Ezra has to go before King Artaxerxes in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. They stopped the work of the rebuilding of the temple by the enemies around them, the other nations of people who did not want to see this done. And you better understand, my friends, there's a lot of people that don't want Christians to have the influence they once had in this nation. And they'll do anything they can to stop that. Darius was the king with a Median background. He made a decree that the records be searched to find out why they had stopped the work and see if it had been permitted in the law of the Medes and Persians for them to do this. And so he found Cyrus's decree, and he reinstated not only the work to be continued in the building of the temple, but for the nations there to give them anything they needed and assist them and leave them alone in the rebuilding of their temple. Some of these names, Artaxerxes and Darius and Cyrus, and some of these names are like Herod and Caesar. They're titles more than their personal names. Sometimes it's the son of the previous one. Sometimes it's a long-existing king in a ruling land in these particular books of the Bible. We also find him in the book of Daniel in chapter 6, verse 25 through 28. It tells us that Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, Daniel 6, verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So God intervened in these leaders' lives because they saw the power of God at work in their midst in answer to the prayers of his people. The book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1, they're in Shushan the palace. King Ahasuerus, in the third year of his reign. So you're able to track down and trace these names and the time periods in which they ruled and reigned. Now, back in the beginning of the building of the temple, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Joshua is a high priest. That's a good Jewish name. It's the same name as our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Greek form of that name. Yeshua is the Hebrew form of that name, or Joshua as we would call it. We pronounce our J's here. Jose, you knew that, didn't you? We pronounce our J's here. And other nations do not pronounce the J as a J. They pronounce it as an H, and or it is silent. Now, Zerubbabel and Joshua led, in Ezra chapter 1 through 6, 49,697 people back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. First, they had to lay the foundation, and they got stopped in doing the work. Then they get permission to go back and do the work. I think 78 years passes. Ezra the scribe is helping to rebuild the wall around the city of Jerusalem after they'd rebuilt the temple. So this is quite a spell of time. Nehemiah appears 14 years after Ezra is with the leaders who go back to build. Now, we see the promise from God to them. If they do what is right, if they repent of their sins, if they seek his face, if they present themselves, Lord, we want to serve you. We are thankful for everything you have done for us. And we confess to you that we have failed in many ways and many times. You know that we are but the dust of the ground. And the only thing good about us is you breathed into man your spirit, the living spirit of lives. So the work had ceased, but now it's restarted. The decree's been made. In the book of Nehemiah, King Artaxerxes had Nehemiah work for him. Chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislew, in the 20th year, I was at Shushan the palace. Hananiah, one of my brethren, came. He and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now, he's in Shushan the palace as a servant under the king. He's talking about the people in Jerusalem that did not go into the captivity, that were left there and escaped being taken in. What's happened to all these people and what's going on there now? And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem was broken down, also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. This thing hit Nehemiah right between the eyes. He saw the severity of what was happening with his beloved Jerusalem and the people of Israel. They were under the influence and the persecution of other nations who did not want them to have the temple rebuilt and their service restored and all of that sort of thing. The people of Jerusalem were in great affliction and reproach. And Christian people are in many ways under reproach and under affliction today. Their protection was broken down, the wall around the city. Nehemiah reacts to this news with several verbs. He hears and he falls down on the ground and he mourns and weeps for days and fasts and prays. He confesses his sins and the sins of his family and of the nation. The corruptness, the failing to obey the commands of God, the sad countenance then as he stands before the king. That's a bad offense to walk before the king who you're his food taster and wine taster, and you're standing there looking sick. And the king asks him, you know, why are you sad? Why are you of a sad countenance? Chapter 2, verse 2. And then he says, this is not sickness, but sorrow of heart. And Nehemiah replies in chapter 2 and verse 3. He said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Verse 10, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard it. They were grieved exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. House of God has been repaired. The temple has been rebuilt. But the wall around the city is in disrepair. People can just come and go. There is no protection for the people. Many of the houses have been torn down as well. Now it's time for them to restore the wall and the separation and the homes and all that sort of thing. And so Nehemiah becomes the one to lead in this and seeks God's help. And the king grants him his request and furnishes him with what is needed to go back and to rebuild what has been torn down. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast. We have Paul's writing that he said, the great door is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. In chapter 16, verse 13, he wrote, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Be on guard. Watch out. Look for the dangers that are happening. Be on guard. And stand up like a man. Present yourself as a man. Quit you like men. And be the man. Endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he told Timothy. Be strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be strong in the faith. And stand for God. Stand against the wiles of the devil, Paul wrote in his day to the nation to put on the armor of God and to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ultimately, my friends, false teaching is of the devil. And he is our enemy. And we must stand to truth and righteousness of God and live righteous lives as an example to the world around us. Many passages of Scripture from Isaiah and Psalms teach us to stand fast. Praises God that thou art my strong refuge. Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth to it, into it, and is safe. In Exodus 6 and 13, God said to Moses, "Now see what I will do with a strong hand against Egypt and Pharaoh. Watch and see what I'm going to do." And we know what he did. Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of a good courage." Joshua was told that four times, that he was taking over as the leader, only be strong and of good courage to lead the people. Now in 1 Corinthians, "We're to watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men, be strong, do everything in love or charity for the glory of God. Put on the armor to stand against the wiles of the devil." All this history recording and everything I've done this morning is to come to this. We need to see the need like Nehemiah heard the need of what was happening among his people. We need to see that marriages need to be strengthened. Churches need to be built up that teach and preach truth. And we need to live for God in this world. We need to stand for Him. We need to try to rebuild what's been torn down. Nehemiah said in chapter 2, verse 20, "The God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will arise and build." Secondly, we're to restore the separation from the sinful people around us. I don't mean that you become so isolated that you won't have anything, you won't speak to your neighbor or anything like that. We can be kind and generous and probably accomplish more for God in that way than we will having an anti-everything mentality. But we are not to unite with the sinful world in their sin. We're to separate from that and restore the separation from this sinful society. Number three, we've got to refuse today to be a participant in this woke culture that has almost taken over our school systems and the youth of our nation and the invasion of those who teach false teachings. The Muslims, the Buddhists, the ancestor worshipers, all this sort of thing. We can let them do their worship, but we need to present Christianity to them, and we don't need to participate with them in any kind of worship. We got to separate from that to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So let us build up the church, be strong, play the man, work with those who are addicted to the ministry of the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will bless us and we'll see change. But like that aircraft carrier, it's not an immediate turnaround. It's going to take time, and we got to begin right now with ourselves. Father, bless your people today. Encourage us all to see the need to live for you, serve you, know your word, be faithful in church, and be a witness to others. We ask for your help to do this. By your Spirit, Lord, remind us and equip us with what we need to say when we're around the unbelievers so that they might hear the truth and be saved. Lord, we don't think we've got much time left. We pray you'll intervene. Help us. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.